Hey, anyway, Gersh, back with you on the Sports Ticket. It is a Thursday. It's time to be joined by the voice of the Jayhawks. Man, I'm so not quite caught up yet, Brian. I didn't even get the intro fired up for you. I don't have it ready to go, man. I hope you're not offended by that.
Not in the least, man. This gives us more time to break down these Jayhawks.
There you go. I like that. And of course, Brian's appearance, as it has been for years now here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by the good folks over at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Bullitt, or call them at 738-5701. Brian, I got to jump right into it with you. It's great to hear your voice again. How much optimism is surrounding the football program and Coach Leipold and what he's done after the way the team finished and, of course, that exciting win against Texas? There seems to be some momentum perhaps carrying forward into the season.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, clearly a season ago, this was a club that missed the fact that they didn't get spring ball with their new coaching staff. And so it should not have been a surprise that it took until midseason to truly start to see this club click and stuff to kind of be figured out from a language and messaging and cultural standpoint. I mean, everything really felt ratcheted up from about mid-October on. Everybody remembers the win in Austin, but folks forget they were a whisker away from beating Oklahoma here at home, almost won at TCU on the road. You go over a decade without a league road win, and you almost get two in back-to-back weeks. It took a last-second field goal as time expired for the Frogs to beat us. And then we nearly beat West Virginia. And so I think no surprise that we saw such tremendous progress late in the season as this coaching staff was finally getting caught back up on you know, all the time they missed with this group in the spring. That's why you fast forward a year, and now they've got 16 months with their boots on the ground here, culture established, roster bolstered, competition level and practice has been through the roof because of 14 transfers they bring in, six of which could wind up being starters for you. And so it not only helped in making the roster better talent-wise, but it made the returning players have to push and grind more because they were obviously, you know, having to beat out guys to keep their spots, and they've tried to create a culture of competition here that's really healthy at all spots. And so even household names like Kenny Logan are getting pushed more than they ever have before, and I think that's a good thing for this Kansas team. So I'll give you this stat real quickly. You talk about 14 transfers and all those that come in with starting experience. We only lost, in terms of experienced players, 12 total FBS career starts. Like, I'm talking about individual games, a total of 12 career starts went out the door. Maybe one player with any type of legitimate starting experience. Nobody in the two deep, by the way, did they lose to the portal, only to graduation. They added 107 career FBS starts. All right, so the experience level coming in versus the very small level of departures is pretty staggering.
Let's talk about some of the offensive pieces. And you and I talk about this ad nauseum each and every year when we talk KU football, that if KU is going to be competitive again, if they're going to move up in the Big 12 standings and become not a punchline, they have to find a quarterback, and really haven't had a legitimate, full, really good quarterback since the Todd Reesing years. But there is excitement with Jalen Daniels and what he did late last year, and I understand he's, you know, becoming a leader on this team as well. What about the quarterback position and what Daniels brings to the table after how he finished last year?
Well, I think a couple of things here. I think Jalen obviously had a productive fall camp and deserves to be QB1 and was able to fend off the threat of Jason Bean. I don't think, though, that it was a Grand Canyon of gap between the two. I think Jason Bean had his best camp he's had since he's been here. I think he's playing the best football he's played since he's been here. And keep in mind, he made 9 starts a year ago, did Bean. So Jalen's our guy. He's got the best, you know, just natural charisma and vocal leadership and kind of that it factor that you really can't coach. You either have it or you don't. He's got all that going for him. He's QB1, absolutely. But it's not like it was by a wide, wide margin. And that's not to say he doesn't have job security. He does. But don't think that Jason Bean is going quietly into the night. They're going to design some plays and packages that utilize his tremendous speed, but also his ability to throw on the run. The fact that we have not one, but two proven Division I starting quarterbacks in this day and age of the transfer portal, where as soon as most kids hear they're not the starter, they're looking for greener pastures – This is a leg up for Kansas, and it's why Kansas was very careful to keep being engaged throughout the fall. And honestly, if you were around this program in early August when it first came out that Jalen was going to be the starter, the way that question was asked of Lance Leipold on the second day of fall camp, it was a leading question. He really didn't boldly say Jalen's the guy. He was kind of baited into giving some kind of answer. He was wanting to create that competition throughout the entire month, and they did, and it was a great competition. And I'll be straight with you. There were days where Jason outperformed Jalen, but ultimately Jalen won the job. He gives us our best chance to win, but Jason is going to be an important part of this team. Even before, heaven forbid, any type of injury attrition, I think there's ways he can help us even when Jalen is at 100%.
And he has a luxury hand off to a couple of very talented running backs. Of course, Devin Neal had a nice season last year. And then you bring in Kai Thomas, who had a really nice year at Minnesota. How much of a luxury is that, knowing that you have a 1-2 punch in the backfield?
Did you say 1-2 punch?
Yeah.
Or is it 1-2-3-4-5 punch? I think this is like a full-on assault. I've got you up against the ropes, and it's right hook, left hook, right hook, left hook. It really is that deep of a backfield. It's as deep of a running back room as I can remember in 20-plus years at Kansas. And you're right. The guys you mentioned, we're most excited about. But let me tell you something. Daniel Hyshaw had a hell of a camp. And Sevion Morrison of Nebraska is not going away. And obviously Tory Lachlan as a dual threat guy, a pass-catching running back, and a guy that can take the rock and make you miss on the ground. They're going to use all five of these guys in addition to Kai Thomas and Devin Neal, who in back-to-back years were Kansas Player of the Year, number one prospect in the state of Kansas. They've got more ink and maybe a little more hype. But this is a very, very deep position group. And I think because of that, Wade, you're going to see Andy Kotelnicki, the OC, be a lot more multiple with his sets and formations, be a lot more creative. And I just taped pregame with Lance today. Yes, we tape it the day before. And I asked him, I said, you know, KU football fans that are studying depth charts and position groupings, I mean, they saw how you put the word or four times as who the starter is, and I think they're all curious creatively, how are you going to keep these mouths fed? And he said, I'll tell you what, for those that are dialed in, watch the game very closely early on, and you're going to figure out how we do this. And so I would expect a lot of multiple back sets, and Wade, you know, as a play-by-play guy, this is where we earn our money. We got to see where's the ball going? Who's going to get it? It's not obvious on any given play. Is he handing to the right? Is he handing to the left? Is he going to keep it himself? Is he going to option pitch? Is he going to take and run? Is he going to throw? I think you're going to see a lot of creativity there, and it's going to keep the defense guessing more than anything.
Offensive line, you know, having great backs is nice, but you need an offensive line to open some holes. And then, of course, if you're going to throw the football, you need some wide receivers. I know they're a little shorthanded with the suspensions that they had to deal with here going into opener tomorrow night. But how does KU, how do you feel about the offensive line and wide receivers / tight ends going into the season?
Well, I'll say this. Let's start with the skill position guys at the tight end and receiver position. Tight end is tremendously deep, not just with Jarrett Casey, who made the great catch in Austin, Texas, and now, by the way, is on scholarship, but Mason Fairchild is healthy. He's poised to have a big senior year. I look at Trevor Cardell, who, like Devin Neal, plays football and baseball. He's had a tremendous camp. Will Huggins is a guy you can't forget about. That's one of the deeper positions on this team behind running back, and I think they're stacked there. And when they go multiple backs, they could go multiple tight ends too. Receiver is not as deep. Obviously, the receiver has been tested a little bit in terms of depth with Kwame Lassiter graduating and then you know, some personnel shakeups a week ago. But I'll tell you what, Tanaka Scott, who is going to serve a one-game suspension this week. He looks like a much bigger, faster, stronger player, and I think he'll still factor in, despite the recent news a week ago. To me, it's about guys like Lawrence Arnold and Luke Grimm, guys that were in the program a year ago and made big leaps and strides. Now, Quentin Skinner is a former walk-on that just got a scholarship a couple of weeks ago. He's turned a lot of heads in fall camp. And then they added in Doug Emelian, the E-Million Dollar Man.
He comes from Minnesota. He was a roommate of Kai Thomas, and they both make that transfer trek down south to Kansas, and he's very athletic. I think there's some things he wants to polish up with his route running, and he's still getting acclimated here at Kansas, but he's a dynamic athlete that will help us in a lot of ways, in the return game, receiving, all of that. So receiver is probably where you have some let's wait and see what emerges type questions, but tight end is stacked. And the O-line is more competitive and deeper than it's been. They've added several key pieces. And I think the one that most Kansas teammates have been buzzing about most frequently is Dominic Cooney from Central Missouri. He talked about all those D1 FBS starts. He doesn't factor into those, but he was a every-week starter at Central Missouri. He's come in and plugged in right away at left guard as a potential starter there. And to a man, everybody has mentioned his name at some point. So we're really excited about that. But, you take a look at who they're going to rotate in there and some of the competition. They just got a transfer from Louisville last week that they're getting eligible ASAP. And whether we get a chance to see him play on Friday night or if it's next week, that remains to be seen. But there's a lot of excitement with how much deeper that group is. Your anchors, though, on the line are Earl Bostic at left tackle, 60-year guy, been in the program a ton, and then Mike Nowitzki. Mike Nowitzki at center. He was in there for 799 snaps last season, didn't commit a penalty, didn't give up a single sack. He's a guy that's on a lot of award watch lists. He came with Leipold as a transfer from Buffalo, and he's been a rock-steady, solid anchor up front at the center position. So I think the line's in good shape, and I think it's only going to get better as they get some of these new faces mixed into the mix.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. A couple more for you, Brian, and then we'll get to the off the wall. What about the defensive side of the ball? Just in general, what's considered the strength of this defense, you think, going into week one tomorrow night, and what is maybe the biggest concern?
Concern-wise, I think, honestly, at all three levels we're way better, and so we'll just have to see. Of the two stars on the D-line, the two stars in the linebacking core, and the two stars you've added in the secondary, who is the most immediately impactful of those groups? Because, honestly, there isn't like a weak link glaring omission when you look at the depth chart where I could tell you, well, this is the concern, this is the weakness. But that's assuming that, at all three levels, some of these new faces mix well. Lonnie Phelps, of a Miami, Ohio transfer, a second-team All-MAC player a year ago, he just looks the part, man. He looks like a play-on-Sundays type guy, and he'll be bringing pressure off the edge. Craig Young's in the linebacking core. He transferred from Ohio State. Can't wait to see what he does next to Rich Miller. Eric Gilliard's been a little bit nicked up, but he's transferred from UCF, Central Florida. They had a great career down there. And you get into the secondary, and Kalen Gervin's back there, along with Kenny Logan. Marvin Grant's added in as well. Grant started every game last season for Purdue. In Gervin's case, he was at Michigan State. So you get some Big Ten caliber transfers that I think can step in and help you right away. That's exciting to me. And like I said, what these guys have done has not only made you better talent-wise, but the additions of linebackers like Gilliard and Young have made returning guys like Potter and Berryhill even better because they're pushing them harder. And Lorenzo McCaskill, who transferred from Louisiana, is another name you want to file away. So I'm really excited. Maybe ask me that weakness question not after this week but next when we go up against Big 12 competition. But right now, they look pretty solid at all three levels defensively.
Tennessee Tech's the opponent. I think the last I saw, KU is a 30.5-point favorite. What do you know about them?
Tennessee Tech is a team that's won three games a year ago. They opened 0-4 and were a little bit more of a consistent team in the second half of the season. But it's a club that just hired a new OC. It brings in a transfer quarterback from Memphis who started his career at Austin Peay and actually beat Tennessee Tech head-to-head 4 years ago in a game in which he threw five touchdowns and threw for almost 300 passing yards. And so they've added him to the mix. That makes them a tough team to scout for because schematically they're going to be different than what they showed a year ago. And at their most important personnel grouping, they're going to be way better. So it's a little tougher to get a feel for that. But This is still a club that, I think Kansas, you know, should go out and assert its will against. We are bigger, faster, stronger. We should win the matchups in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And hopefully you see the Kansas offense get rhythm and score with regularity and pace and really put it to these guys. It's the only game you're guaranteed to be favored in. I think Kansas can be favored versus Duke, and we'll see how these first few weeks go as to what that means in October and November. But this is one, I mean, humbly speaking, we should put the hammer down, okay? I mean, we should absolutely remind them who the Division I, you know, Big 12 caliber school is. And yes, Kansas has had scares and in some cases defeats to lower level competition over the last decade, but times are changing here, and this is a week where you need to go out and prove it.
Kickoff tomorrow night, 7 o'clock there in Lawrence, KU hosting Tennessee Tech. How big a crowd do you expect? What are you hearing?
You know, there's great buzz around this team. I don't know what you know, the current season ticket sale numbers are up to as of today, but for a Friday night under the lights, a lot of students will come out for this one before they get their party on. But let me correct that. They're probably going to start partying at like 2 o'clock, let's be honest. But they'll come out in the midst of that if they haven't gone too hard already. And then I think, you know, while you do have the competition of local high school football, and that's unfortunate, there are a lot of, you know, season ticket holders that are fired up to have this standalone game. And it's good for us, TV and exposure-wise, nationally, to do it on Friday night for the second consecutive year. But I was talking with our SIDs today. The Kansas football Twitter account is closing in on 100,000 followers, something that this time a year ago they had about 30,000 less. And so there's a palpable buzz. Folks are piling on, and hopefully that means they're filing in as well.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question for Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. What is your favorite game show, whether it was growing up, whether it's current? What's your favorite game show or game that you saw on TV?
Well, I had two that were traditional game shows and one that was an athletic game show, and sure, I think you know where I'm going with that, American Gladiators.
Yeah.
Especially the assault when they would fire the tennis balls at you at 100 miles an hour and you had to not get hit. I always thought that would be a cool gig to shoot the tennis ball gun. And then they had like a bazooka to hit the target above the tennis ball, dude. I don't think that's a traditional game show, though, even though they were playing games. So my other answer would be Press Your Luck, where you had to avoid the whammy.
Yes,
love that. Peter Simonkin. And then Bob Barker on The Price is Right. I mean, whenever I would stay home sick from school, I would watch The Price is Right at 10 on CBS. And then I'd flip over to USA Network for like whenever 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, Press Your Luck was coming on and try to avoid those whammies. But those were my two favorite, hands down. And you know, I'll still watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy and stuff like that, but had the most fun with those. Maybe Let's Make a Deal at distant third.
Yeah, Press Your Luck was number one for me with the whammies. And then the individual game within the game show, Price is Right, Plinko, always liked that.
Yes.
And in regards to you talking about watching Price is Right if you were sick or playing hooky from school, 10 to 11, you changed the USA. I watched Price is Right at 10 to 11, but then I couldn't change it because Mom had to see Young and the Restless right after Price is Right. So.
Oh, that's rough. That's when you're regretting playing hooky. You kind of wish you were at school at that point when the soap operas come on.
Yeah, I was like, suddenly I feel good. Can I go in for half a day now, you know, after I've seen The Price is Right?
Yeah, recess is getting started. I think I'm feeling better.
Yeah, right. What's your favorite subject at school? Recess and dismissal. All right, got it. That works for me. Hey, man, always appreciate the time. Always enjoy talking to you. It's good to have you back on the airwaves here on the Sports Ticket. Look forward to talking to you each and every week, talking KU athletics, and we will talk more KU football next week with you.
Looking forward to it, buddy. Big thanks, by the way, to the Anderson Insurance Agency folks. You know, Matt's been with us for, 7 years now as a steady sponsor throughout. I'm just so grateful and appreciate their sponsorship. Love giving you this additional coverage. And what a year last year was, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what we do for an encore, but I got a feeling, especially this fall, it's just going to get better and better. So stay tuned. We're going to have a ton of fun these next 7 or 8 months.
Sounds like a plan. Take care of yourself. We'll be listening.
Thank you.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by our good friends over at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. A reminder, we have the live video stream, Beloit Volleyball tonight at ncksports.com via Beloit Trojan Channel. Beloit ranked in the top 5 in 3A against number 2 in 2A, Allenwood. That's the first match at 5 o'clock, and Beloit will play Ellsworth. That's round seven, maybe later, and we'll have Ellsworth Ellenwood as well, the middle match. So all three of those matches you can watch and listen to nckssports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. Also a reminder, Hill City at Osborne tonight, high school football at 7:30. Osborne starts their season a day earlier than everybody else, and then of course we'll preview all of the high school football tomorrow with Sportscast, Sports Ticket, and the Football Express, brought to you by Cunningham Telephone Cable at 5:40, 6:30 pregame, kickoff at 7, Lincoln at Sylvan Lucas on KD Country 94, Rock Hills at St. John's Tipton on Z96.3 Lake, and Beloit at Ellsworth on nckssports.com via Beloit Trojan Channel. And our coverage ends tomorrow night, week one, with the local high school scoreboard show at 10:05, brought to you by State Farm Insurance, Kevin Hewitt and Marty Walters agents. And we'll recap the Osborne Hill City game tomorrow morning as well on the Sports Ticket and in Dusty Sports. And there's lots of volleyball going on today. There's lots of cross country. There's tennis. So we'll recap all that coming up tomorrow right here on your number one source of high school sports in North Central Kansas, KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com, Z96.3 Lake, and NCKSSports.com.